Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, Episode 523, Terminator Dark Fate.
It is for this franchise.
Yes, the box office is what they were referring to. Yeah, is right. That's their Dark Fate.
Yeah, big time.
Swing and a miss.
Huge miss.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's go around the table and introduce ourselves before we get derailed.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get them. Go there and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. Like the page, join the group, join the League of Show Sharers. We'll read your name. That's pretty cool, maybe, sort of.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
And also our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers. For $5 a month, you get bonus content, and you help us out some, and we appreciate that. So there's all that. I guess let's dig into Terminator Dark Fate.
I feel like if you're a studio, you should stop putting the word dark in your title. Dark Phoenix was a miss. Hmm. The Dark Universe completely collapsed. And now here we are at Dark Fate. And it is strike three. You're out.
Dark I guess Knight.
Well, that doesn't count. All right. So one.
Zero Dark 30.
Two.
Okay.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
No. That doesn't work. Near Dark. I like that movie.
Dark Shadow.
Dark Man.
Oh, no, not Dark Shadow.
Ooh, Dark Shadows is bad. Dark Man's
Dark
good.
Man? Dark City.
Dark City works. Mm-hmm. That's a good movie. Alex Proyas, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming Off the Crow. That doesn't get enough love.
It's a good movie. I like it.
The director's cut is actually better.
Yeah, I think that's what I have. I watched it on Blu-ray not that long ago. I showed Katie, and she thought it was pretty cool.
Thor, The Dark World.
Ah, there it is. See?
I mean, of all of them, that's the bad one.
That's the low point of the MCU.
Yeah. Man, so
Darkest Hour.
Which one was that?
That's a Gary Oldman Winston Churchill movie.
Like that he won the Oscar for that.
He deserved that movie. Was boring, but he was great.
Darkwing Duck.
Scanner Darkly.
I don't like Scanner Darkly.
Transformers Dark of the Moon.
I definitely don't like
that. That was awesome. That was the good one, right?
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that is the good one. That's the third one where it's like,
oh, what's
this
the second one?
No.
No, but what's the second one called?
Oh, Crap Fest.
Oh, okay.
Transformers 2.
We're Not Racist.
Racist Robots.
Racist Robots. featuring, you know, Step and Fetch It.
Yeah, right. How congratulations.
And those parents, I'll never forget those stupid high parents.
They were
the most annoying.
Army of Darkness.
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
It's got dark in the title.
I'm just talking about
You said dark in the title.
The word dark. That's darkness.
50 Shades Darker.
y'all need to cover that one.
We're waiting
still
for you.
No, I haven't done any of them.
I know. We're waiting.
No way.
We're waiting for a whole series recap. Want you to finish the books first so that you can really.
You and Leanne have to step in because Dan can't.
I guess that's true. Well, yeah, that's fair. All right. Crap. I don't know what happened here. I thought this movie was a lot of fun.
I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Mostly enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, like, for the most part.
I went in with very low expectations.
Yeah.
But I think people are just kind of, I don't think that this is a beloved franchise. I think it's a beloved two movies, and they haven't made a good one in 30 years.
Yeah, that's true.
But
they're erasing all the others. So, like, this should be this
is
movie
even
three.
I don't even know if the general public knows
that's
that.
The problem. But
well,
if, like,
because they're coming off Genesis, which was supposed to be a reboot, but it was like, let's combine one and two. Like, that's what Genesis was. It's like, it was a combination of one. They love both of those. Let's just put them together. Yeah. And see what happens. And it didn't, like, that was a mess. That movie was a mess.
But I Dark Crystal.
That, have you watched that recently?
Yeah, it was pretty. It was
does
a
not hold up.
It was
is that the one that we reviewed?
Yes, it is.
I was like, what is the love of this movie? I mean, puppet yeah. wise, the yes. Muppets and yeah. everything, like, those are amazing practical works.
But, yeah.
And yikes. Especially, oh my God, the go watch that. What's the YouTube channel that I can't remember?
Netflix.
What's the channel with the, is it Defunct Land?
Oh, Defunct Land,
Defunct
yeah.
Land TV on Jim Henson, and there's an episode on the Dark Crystal and the yeah. development hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
he
yeah.
tried to make that, and everyone's like, that's not going to make money. And he's like, I really want to make this. And they finally got it made, and it didn't make any money.
Yeah.
But, like, it's an amazing practical effects. And
it's on Netflix, it's though. They have
there's a new show.
Because,
that's
yeah.
that's
yeah.
why I thought you were trying to think of
oh,
Netflix.
No,
because
no, no.
they have the new show on.
But anyway, so yeah, we talked about that, and I'm just like, oh, so
yeah,
boring.
That was very boring. So it's like,
but to my point though, real quick though, like, this is a sequel to T2.
Yes.
So T1 happened.
Yes.
T2 happened.
Yes.
This is a direct sequel, and I feel like this movie does everything that you would want from a Terminator movie, as far as, like, I love T2. Here's this movie. It does everything
it's
you
the, it,
I
think
would
the,
expect.
I overall I enjoyed this movie, but yeah. my complaint is that it is basically just takes Terminator 1 and 2 and mushes them together.
Well, oh. this is Terminator The Force Awakens. This is a
right.
soft reboot.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
yeah,
yeah, it, yeah.
You've got the same, they did the same thing. They added new characters.
Yep.
You know, as Kevin Smith says in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, added diversity, new characters, yeah. and told the same story again. I mean, you know, Brad was talking about that. I saw with Brad Hyen, and
oh, did you? I'm shocked.
Yeah, yeah. and so he said, you know, he pointed that out, and I'm like, it's true though. I mean, that's what reboots are. It's like
yeah.
they take the same thing and they, you know, make them, they modernize them, and they tell the same story that because they're like, people love this. And I mean, that's what they did here, but I think it works for what they tried to do. It had the action.
It has some beats that are a little wonky, but I think, oh, I'm with you overall. Yeah,
there's some really clunky dialogue.
Uh-huh.
I will also say, I think the effects got better as the movie went on, but some of the early scenes, I thought the effects were pretty wonky.
The new Terminator jumping in that first scene in that
oh,
warehouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you saw him and it was right in front of the camera, it was the closest object
yeah.
to camera, and he jumps across it. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, is the whole movie going to look like
right.
this? But it never did again. Like
right.
it was, but that early on, like,
you'd think they would go back and be like, we got to fix
how
that.
How did that pass?
Yeah,
like, they're like,
know.
This is the beginning of the movie, and they made a character large on the screen jump like that.
Right.
It looked so fake.
Yeah.
But no, I was pleasantly surprised that the action was good and the CG looked good. This is Tim Miller, the
it
director
is, yeah,
of the first Deadpool.
Yeah.
So the guy knows action. And I think this movie was as entertaining and funny as it was because of Tim Miller. Like, he knows how to do
sure.
action and comedy,
yeah, I
obviously.
Agree.
And he interjects a lot of humor that works. I mean, I granted, some of them didn't always work as well as others.
I have a huge problem with Arnold in this movie.
Oh, hell no. Carl is the best character in the Terminator franchise.
No.
Hands down. Love Carl.
I didn't care for Linda Hamilton in this movie. I thought some of her line readings were really weird and stilted.
Some of hers were. Overall, I thought she was a badass. I loved her in this. But
she's a badass because they gave her badass things to do.
But I didn't
really care for her.
I guess I feel like with her, there's a scene in this movie where she does a flip. And I
huh?
was... Oh, not a, like a backflip.
Oh.
So like there's a scene
like,
she's when
what?
She's talking to the girl for the first time.
Right.
And her voice, raises an octave and she sounds like the Sarah Connor from part one when she's asking for her phone.
Right.
And like there's a moment where she's like, she sounds just like that innocent Sarah Connor. The character Danny gives her the phone and she immediately flips back to Terminator 2 Sarah Connor. And I was like, that was really good. I don't know why that worked as well as it did for me, but it was just like that was now. And she's just, you know, we're 30 years of her, you know, something happens in the past and she is broken again. Like she kind of I don't know if she ever became whole at the end of Terminator 2.
Well, let's get into it. What happens with this?
So here we go.
Right,
so the
beginning.
The movie opens up with the video that we see in Terminator 2 of her screaming at the doctors, you know, talking about Judgment Day in 1997. Yeah. And when she gets it's
3
it's,
billion people are going to need a lot of sunblock or whatever. She's explaining that
great,
Judgment Day is going to happen.
That scene in T2 is great.
Oh, yeah. I just rewatched T2.
I did as well. Yeah. And she is off the rails in that scene. So then
she's such a badass in that movie. Yeah. And I think in this one, like Linda Hamilton, you know, James Cameron loves his strong,
of course,
females. Yeah. And it's just, she's awesome. I grew up with T2 as most people our age did, love that movie, but I just appreciate it all over again, how awesome she is in
that
movie.
So we find out that obviously Judgment Day was canceled. So we do a little flashback to 1998. So we're a year past where Judgment Day should have been. And they do some really good de-aging. Like, she looks just like Linda Hamilton circa 1991.
I thought this was amazing how they did this.
This is why the jump looked weird. They spent all the money on this.
Like, Edward Furlong, obviously, would be 30 years older.
Well, he just did the voice, right?
Well, they probably applied a face to a younger actor, but I'm just saying...
Do we see his face?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You do. Like, I was honestly like, was this a deleted scene?
It looks
scene?
Right.
Yeah.
Linda Hamilton and Edward Furlong, the look of them in this scene, which clearly could not have been filmed before now.
Right.
Like, you know, it's a brand new scene. They look just like them. I was shocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because some people told me, like, oh, the DH is a little wonky, whatever. And I went into
it
like.
I thought it looked great.
I thought this looked better than Tarkin.
Oh yeah,
I think this looked smooth. There was no computery uncanny valley, like you said. It was like, did they film this?
Yeah. This is a deleted scene. Yeah, so they're in Mexico and things are okay. Like Sarah's watching John kind of hit on a girl, and then all of a sudden, you see initially is the arm.
Yeah,
and I was just like, so wait, is there? And then they pan up, and this is the best looking Arnold.
I will say
his face looked a little weird.
I don't think he looked as good as the other two.
I would agree.
But it still looks way better than like what we saw in Salvation.
Yeah, like circa, so and we see an Arnold circa 1991 and he's jacked to the gills.
It looks
and
like a T2.
T-800 from T2 and he shoots John in the chest with a shotgun.
I mean, cold open. Yeah. John, your hero of T2, most people's favorite Terminator movie, like first 5 minutes of this movie, he's dead. Everything they worked for, they saved the day, and they killed John. I'm like, that's a ballsy move.
It is a ballsy move. Well, I mean, you kind of have to explain. It's so weird because Nick Stahl played him in T3, and he is a whiny bitch. In three.
Have you seen T2?
He's pretty whiny.
Because
I guess I feel like I can accept the whininess from a 10-year-old.
But he
in
is. T2. But if my child whined like that, they would be told not to. You know what I mean? Like, I rewatched this movie last night because I was just like, oh, I haven't seen it in a little while. And I watched it, and it's never bothered me. And I grew up with it, and I was a kid when I first saw it and everything. But God, rewatching it as a parent and in my 30s now, I'm like, he is so whiny. Just constant whining from him. And I'm just like, it's so annoying.
Yeah, it's,
it never bothered me before. And I'm
it's
like,
it's because you were that age.
Yeah. But God, I never whined as much. I mean, God, every line from John Connor is a whine. Like, that's how Edward Furlong played that. Like,
oh really? So yeah, so we lose John in the first, like you said 5 minutes of this movie, and the Terminator just kind of drops his gun and walks away.
Yeah,
and that was it. Like,
I mean,
that was,
he accomplishes mission
was over.
Although I do kind of have a problem with that.
Why?
Like, it just kind of like takes away everything that the movies that one and two were about, and it kind of derails the premise of the franchise.
Why?
He's the one that's going to save the future. If it's just,
but the future is gone.
But if he, but it's also like, but then why does this Terminator still have this mission?
Because,
and then basically the movie says, if it's not him, it'll be somebody else.
I agree with that last part.
Yeah.
But I think that what you said about why. So they explain why there's another one.
I think they were very smart with how they set this up. Because,
yeah, I did like that.
I mean, the whole thing is that they accomplished it. Judgment Day was ended. Skynet is no more. They very clearly set it up to, like, you know.
Have you heard the theory that the Terminators, that Skynet kept sending? Skynet knew that it wouldn't kill John, so they kept sending different Terminators back so that Skynet would be created.
Huh, no.
Yeah, that's a theory that, like, they knew they weren't going to beat him, but they had to jump the gun and try to get Skynet created. So obviously in one, they sent the first one back, knowing that the arm would get left behind and they would create it off the arm. In two, Wait, maybe it's in 3. I think in 3 they redo the research on something, and that's how it's Skynet comes online and Judgment Day starts in 3.
But either way, in this one, they explain, and Little Hamilton says that they didn't just send one Terminator. So when they sent the T-1000, that wasn't the only Terminator they sent. So they actually sent multiple, and this was a T-800 they sent. And so even though Skynet was gone, this one still had that mission, and he was searching for John. So he eventually caught up to him and killed him, and that was the mission. And I just love what it sets up later. I love the redemption, which we'll get into. I think it's such a fascinating concept to not somehow be like, oh, this is the good Terminator from T2, and somehow he was a clone and got his memories.
But
he's a good
kind
guy.
Of do that.
But they like don't.
But they make him into the Terminator from T2 without him being the Terminator from T2.
Which I love. That's what I'm saying. Like, but he's not. He's a killer. He killed your...
I like the idea that, like, when he didn't have a mission, he started interacting with people, and because it's an AI, it did learn to be human in its own fashion.
He's the only one, and again, we're not there yet, but he's the only one that's ever on his own become a good guy and interact. So, but yeah, I was shocked. I didn't know how they were going to handle it. Like, I think Edward Furlong has some problems, and like they didn't want to put him in this movie. Yeah. So like, this was a way to have him in there for the continuity, have him in, but like they get rid of him quick.
They do.
And so we flash forward
Mexico City, and we see the first, we meet Danny and her brother, Diego.
And I thought of you because of our Rambo conversation, how different
is this movie
is shown
exactly
from Rambo 5.
Does it not does that not lead credence to what I was saying about Rambo 5?
I never thought of it that way, but in this movie, when you see all these great, you know, hard workers, Mexicans and just families and everything. Uh-huh. And it's like, I get what you're saying. Like, I still think of the points we made back then, and I'm like, well, it's totally a different thing they're showing, blah, blah, blah. But I get what you were saying, where it's like they just showed Mexico as just another city. Like, it's just a community and families, and it just puts it in such a better light than Rambo.
And there is a lot of and who wrote this? Did James Cameron write this? Or is there a bunch of writing credits?
I think Tim Miller has writing credits. No, David Goyer.
Oh, Christ.
I knew that one would.
Tricked.
You got tricked. Yeah, I shouldn't have told you. So they had Billy Ray, maybe Cyrus.
Maybe Cyrus,
know,
yeah.
But, and Justin Rhodes.
Okay. No relation to Dusty. Or maybe it is related to Dusty. I don't know.
Billy Ray is an American screenwriter who began writing television and movies in 1994 with Color of the Night.
Color of Night.
Oh, man. That's the Bruce Willis one where you see his wiener?
Yes.
Volcano and Heart's War, another Bruce Willis. And science fiction show Earth 2. Not familiar with that.
All right. We don't need to see the pedigree for garbage David Goyer.
But anyway, so...
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting that... There is a lot. They definitely double down on the female empowerment. Linda.
But that's not new.
It's not new.
James Cameron has always
done that.
And it's funny. I feel like James Cameron, who can
be a misogynist,
can be problematic.
Yes.
Let's just say that.
Yes.
But I think at the time those movies were coming out.
Totally.
Nobody was putting female characters front and center and making them strong.
He was one of the first to have that female action.
You can look back and say, well, it wasn't done exactly the way it should have been, or, you know, like, oh, you made them strong by making them more masculine. There are certainly truths to that, but nobody else was doing it at all.
No.
He did it repeatedly.
He invented it.
And he did it extremely well.
He took both. So Ripley and Sarah Connor both were different characters in the first movies.
Yeah.
Like in the first, and both, I mean, she's not the same. Ripley and Sarah Connor are not the same characters.
Well, let's not forget, he also put a strong female protagonist front and center in Rambo First Blood 2.
What?
Yeah. The Rambo has this Vietnamese girl who helps
you're
him.
Right
and
you're she, right
and she's a badass
that's right that's
she's
right,
a
that's
she's
right.
a legit badass. She does not live till the end of the movie, but no one in Rambo's life except for
Rambo
and Troutman live, but like, she's legit killing people.
That's
she
true.
Legit saves Rambo
I
think twice. It's been a little bit since I've seen it, but I mean, that's, and even Jamie Lee Curtis in True Lies.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, she it does not, she's not of that world, but she quickly learns how to navigate.
Correct.
It, right? So, I mean, that's been, so there are, I've already seen people complaining that this movie didn't make money because it's woke.
No,
and
sure.
And I'm just like, eh, I know, but his movies
have always done
have
that.
Always been. Yeah. And again, looking back, people that are woke might not think they're as woke as they should be in today's world.
Right.
But if you look at those movies and the era in which they came out, you would not have found a more female-centric and female-friendly action movie.
Totally.
Than the James Cameron.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, Sarah and Ripley were different. Like, when they get to the second movies,
they're he created the first one, so you can't say, like...
Well, but, I mean, he flipped Sarah. Like, Sarah was not... That,
right, but he flipped
but that
himself.
Was,
it's not
no,
like
no,
he
totally,
took another...
Totally. No,
but
I
feel
agree.
Like Sarah Connor in T2, that's an evolution of that character.
Yeah. Oh, I think
she
it's
went,
an evolution
she was
of
a
Ripley.
Waitress.
She went through that,
oh,
and then
I see
she
what
became
saying.
A
yeah.
badass.
I see,
don't
I
feel
see.
Like it's a complete
it's a perfect
flip of
transition.
A character.
Yeah.
I see
it,
what you're
like,
saying.
It made perfect sense yes. that this is what she
where
became.
Where she would end up.
Yeah.
Where Ripley is kind of a 180.
A little bit,
but, she also
but she's,
went through
all, but
crap,
she's also
yeah.
gone.
She
through
also
went
crap.
Through, and she's still like an astronaut, like
yeah.
In the military. Like she's not.
That's true.
Like, you gotta have some skills to get
totally
to the point she was at.
Right, right, right.
You know,
and then they become who they become in the second. And obviously, he didn't have anything to do with the first Alien. That's
right.
That's you know, but so yeah. So then we flash forward to Mexico. We meet Danny and her brother Diego. Which I was just like, can we pick a different name for this guy? Because I keep thinking of Dora.
Please make
right.
her not Dora. She's Danny.
yeah, right. Although that would have been a hell of a crossover.
right? But it's like, this is Danny and Diego. I'm like,
right.
It's so close. And we just saw that Dora movie.
And she's very capable. She's, you know, getting her brother up for work and they're going to the auto plant to do, you know, their thing. And
he's replaced by a robot,
which I was just like, okay, I see where we're going.
Yeah.
Like, we're picking up on it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And you know, Danny kind of takes charge and,
what if that was the whole movie was just Skynet, but they're just creating machines to replace workers. And that's how they take
that's
over.
That's how they take over.
It's just,
I mean, it's kind of, that's where I thought we were going.
Like there are no killer Terminators. The whole Terminator is just like terminating jobs.
And
the whole thing is about
destroying,
replacing human
yeah.
workforce.
So then we kind of flat, you know, she kind of fights for her brother and, the two your two Terminators basically show up. So we've got, I don't know who this gal is, but I liked her
Mackenzie
a lot.
Davis.
She was fun. Like she was a badass.
She was really good.
Yeah. Shows up.
She was in Blade Runner 2049.
Who was she in that?
I don't know. One of the, I think she was like a hologram or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Someone in that movie. And, she was on, was she the one in a TV show? Someone was just telling me about a TV show. It looks
she was
like
on
she
Halt and Catch Fire.
Halt and Catch Fire. That's the one.
Okay.
And then she was an episode of Black Mirror, but The Martian too.
Okay.
So, but
so,
yeah, she was really good.
And this is the first. Like, she's your Kyle Reese for this one, mm-hmm. and then you've got.
Oh, she was Tully.
That's what we know. Of. Yes,
yeah.
She was so good in that.
She was the babysitter in Tully.
That's what
oh.
it is. So when I saw Tully. And I was like, that movie was awesome. And like, who is she? I know her. She was in that episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Okay,
so like, I knew
okay,
her from Black
okay.
Mirror and Tully. She was
man, what
so
a,
good.
What a completely different character.
But that's the thing is her credits don't have these badass action roles.
Right,
and
right,
she goes
right.
in this and crushes it.
She does. Yeah.
She's really good.
She's really good.
And she doesn't look like your typical action hero.
She is very, I think it's on purpose. She's very androgynous looking where she's not.
Like even as a young girl when they do a flashback, she
yeah.
has short hair.
Short hair. She's got a thinner build. Like she's built more like an athlete is what
right.
she's
she
built like. She's built
they
like
would
a track
get,
star.
I wish they would get back to giving us tough looking Terminators.
Yeah.
Like I'm fine with her, but I wish the other Terminator would have been tougher looking. Like when, in T2 it was kind of cool that you had this guy that wasn't necessarily physically imposing
yeah.
but could do all this crazy stuff.
Opposite but Schwarzenegger we, who we knew it was a total
right,
180.
But like kind of ever since we keep getting these
true.
Kind of Terminators even on the TV show
yeah.
where you got what
sexy Terminators.
Summer Glau,
there we
yeah.
go. And
I think it's so they blend in. I mean
I mean,
Schwarzenegger's a very distracting,
sure.
especially big bodybuilder.
But when you see him, like I agree with Tom, is like when you see him going up, when Michael Biehn is standing in front of Arnold Schwarzenegger in 1984.
Yeah,
Schwarzenegger was. I don't think words don't really put what that dude looked like, because there was nobody that was walking around that looked like him in 1984. Like, that dude was a freak of nature.
Yeah, right.
Look
at his bodybuilding. I mean, he's slimmed down from
When that dude beat Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
To be
his biceps,
you know?
Had biceps. Like, yeah. I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah. So I agree that, like, there is a certain look that that character probably should have when you're going up against.
Yeah. I liked the reversal in T2 and it really worked.
Yeah.
But
they did
it
again.
But they keep doing it.
That's what this
is. They've never given us a physically imposing Terminator since.
No, because the gal in 3 was, it was a gal.
Yeah.
It was, I want to say
Chick from Law and Order, right?
I want to say Sienna Miller, but that's not right.
But I will say, so this new Terminator.
Christina Loken.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. So the new Terminator they send after them, though, when I saw the previews, which, you know, I tried to dodge, but, you know, I saw what he looked like, and I'm like, oh, he looks like a soccer dad or something, whatever.
Yeah, right.
How is he going to be imposing? But I thought he actually did a really good job blending in this movie. Like, he changes his accent. He blends into whatever community, like, just like the T-1000 would manipulate people.
Yeah, I did like the code shifting.
I thought
he
was
doing
really good.
When he was talking to Texans, he sounded Texans. When he was talking to Mexican.
As an actor, he did a really good job of doing that. So my preconceived notions were all just like, oh, this guy is not imposing. He looks like just a dorky dad. Like, he doesn't look, you know, threatening. But I thought the actor did a great job in the role. I was happy with the performance.
Yeah, he was fine. I think.
And he's a Rev 9 is the new
Rev
model.
9,
so,
yeah.
So we find out that Skynet's gone, as we mentioned. Like, they did stop Skynet.
But something else took
its
place.
But Legion took over.
Yeah,
so
the government created a wartime AI, and the AI turned on him, which I was just like, that's exactly what Skynet did, you dummies.
But what I like about this, but what I do like, and I like time travel movies a lot. I've talked about this, and I know we watched, what was that stupid one that the early time travel movie that we watched? Remember?
Oh my God, Project Almanac.
And I talked about then where I'm like, I generally really like time travel, and I even thought that had interesting ideas, but I really like the idea of you can try to change your own fate, and they go into this a lot in this movie. You can try to alter the future, you can try to go back and change things, but a lot of times fate has a way of working itself out and happening anyway.
Well, and also, like, ultimately the only way you're going to stop this is to stop technological advancing.
Right.
Aren't going to stop making AI and robots and things like that,
or stop humans, which I mean, obviously you're not going to want to do, but the point is, humans,
depends on the humans. I can give you a list.
But the thing is, in this movie, it's like
you'll end up on a list.
Yeah,
but this is humanity, where they wanted power, they wanted to create this AI, and they created Skynet. You stop them, and it's like, and then humanity is not just like, oh, that one person stopped making this AI.
No, totally.
Like, of course someone else will do it if they don't. And so I really like the idea that another quote unquote Skynet came anyway. So it was all for naught. And now you have to battle this new one. And what is the solution? Like, are you going to ever really be able to stop it from happening? Like, how do you stop humanity from repeating their past mistakes and not creating this? It's just an interesting question
that
they bring up. And I like how things evolve and how the heroes evolve and they changed, which I know that this is probably another complaint where people are like, it's a little woke or whatever, but how they changed the whole archetype of, like, the mother, she's not
going to give birth to
the man.
Her role in it isn't birthing.
Yeah.
And
so they do flip the script there, which we'll get into. So I thought this movie had some really interesting ideas. I do wish that it wasn't quite as much of a retread, just because I would like
it felt
some more,
a lot like Terminator 2.
But there were a lot of those interesting ideas, I think, that kept it fresh to where, even though it was a retread, they brought up new ideas and twisted things a little bit.
And I think when we get to the end, I was like, okay. Like, give me that movie. Like, that seems interesting enough.
I have questions when we get there. But so this Rev 9, we see he...
Which is basically
just like the
T-1000,
It's a very advanced T-1000, and so he goes into to the dad and asks where Danny is. You know, he kind of shows his hand because her friends call her Danny. He asks for Danielle.
Right.
You know that dude's dead. He shows up at their work.
You know what? That was one of my favorite kills in 2, is when...
Through the head? The milk carton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That is a great kill.
It's a good kill.
I should say this is rated R.
They show
R.
it off camera and it pans to
it. Yeah, you hear it, and then like she switches
the
hands.
The foster mom's talking on the phone, and you just hear it go, and then it pans over. It's a great kill.
I do like that where she's like, "What's that?" He goes, "What's the dog's name?" And he was like, "Rusty."
Wolfie.
He's like, "Why is Rusty barking?" And he's like, And she's Wolfie. Like, what? No, but he.
No, but he asks, why is Wolfie barking? And she goes, Wolfie's fine, honey.
But Wolfie's not the name.
Right.
Right. But John
Max,
says.
He says,
yeah, that's
Max,
okay. Right, right.
He
yeah.
says.
And then, yeah. of course, then the yeah. thing through the face.
I just watched this last night, yeah. so it's
thing
very
through,
fresh.
Thing through the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, so Grace, who is our Kyle Reese of this movie, also knows where she's headed. And we find, and you're not really sure what's, you think Grace might be a Terminator as well, because she's mm-hmm. got.
She's like enhanced.
Enhanced, and she's got her sight is a little bit different, and she's faster and stronger.
And I like this, too. This is a really interesting concept.
I agree.
They've
yeah.
never done this before.
No,
it's
I agree.
Always Terminators of some yeah. sort. And
well, one, it's Michael Biehn.
Well, right, but the robots that you think are robots, I mean, they're always some sort of Terminator.
Right.
And with this one, she's augmented.
Yes.
And so if you've ever played the Deus Ex games, which have been around for 20 years, so in that, you are a human, but you're augmented. So you have different machine, you know, vision, very much. I mean, this movie is very similar to the things they do in that game series, but you're a human with all these augments and you upgrade your character over time. I really like that idea that so she has that humanity. She has a human soul and brain, and she grew up as a human. So she has that relation to humans that she can relate more than, think
sure.
of Arnold Schwarzenegger in T2, who
oh, yeah,
just
yeah.
doesn't know anything. But she's also a badass. So you've got the best of both worlds there.
Yeah. So they both end up the Rev-9 and Grace kind of end up at the car plant at the same time, and all hell breaks loose. Like, this is where the first time we see what
wonky
Grace...
Wonky jump.
Yeah, wonky jump. This is the first time we can see what Grace can do, and she's pretty much holding her own.
She kicks the cop's ass in Mexico City that
oh, that's
to,
right, she does. That's right. She takes out, like, four or five
that
cops.
Was, I mean, and again, the humor here, I thought it was pretty funny with the two
and
people.
The guy's like, help her, why don't you? Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, that was awesome.
She's walking away in his
and
underwear.
And I really like how they... I mean, again, it's just like Force Awakens, there's a lot of rehashes that look... parallels to
yeah.
the T2 stuff, but they're still different. I like how the camera pans down, really cool camera work, and she just kind of puts her foot, shoves her foot next to his, and you know she's sizing him
right,
up.
Right, right, right. Also, I do appreciate, since we know that Skynet isn't a thing anymore, when the time portals would open up, mm-hmm. they would melt whatever they were
yeah,
around.
They were ice.
And this one, they flipped it, and they were ice.
Yeah,
so I was like, okay, at least
yeah.
they're sticking with, like, obviously the technology
it's a
wouldn't
different
be exactly
company,
the
right.
same.
Yeah.
So,
it's the same premise,
yeah.
but they accomplish it differently.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, right. Different development, different technology. See, it's those little things
right.
that make the difference where they could have been lazy. A lazy retread would just be like, copy paste. Here's the same thing, you know. And they invented this new system, which has, again, those parallels, but there's enough new stuff to where you're like, yeah, that's clever. They changed it. And,
yeah.
And even the Terminators in the future, they look like those robots, but they have tentacles and stuff. Like,
yeah.
they're a different technology.
It's a different Terminator. So Grace kind of explains, we lose Diego. Diego gets killed in the, oh no, we don't, not yet.
In the car
in
chase.
The car chase.
Follows,
yeah, yeah. But so they get out and they're
pretty cool car chase.
Very
I mean,
good
the,
car
yeah,
chase.
Yeah, this is a really good
and
scene.
There's a lot of practical
and,
effects.
Yeah.
Like
and,
that's.
And this is early on. I mean, if you think about T2, like you're not getting this stuff until 30, 40 minutes into
the
right?
movie. You don't get that chase in the,
I mean, it's probably a half hour in. I mean, it's a slow
the
development.
Truck chase?
Yeah. But this is where they're, it's very similar to the way the truck and that grease canal is filmed
yeah.
or whatever. But, you know, and he does very similar camera work, but you get this early on in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like this movie hits the ground running and it's good. It's good action. It's not
yeah.
choppy cuts like we hate.
No, it's not. It's there's a lot of practical effects mm-hmm. and the things that I feel like they only use the CG to enhance the
yeah.
practical
like
effects.
You can tell like there's real cars, but then sometimes when they do flips, like you can tell the CG kind of kicks in
right.
to enhance things, but it's not distracting enough to be
nope,
like
not at all.
Total green screen.
Right. So
yeah.
Good
chase, but this is where we see what the Rev-9
can
do.
And
so
it
can just like the T-1000, it can shapeshift anyone he touches, very similar. And he can turn into stabbing objects like the T-1000.
This one can actually turn into a gun.
He can split, but this one can split.
Yeah.
So the endoskeleton is his own thing, and then the gooey liquid venom looking black thing can form into people too. So, I mean, this is a lot harder to kill even than the T-1000 because
right.
he can double team.
Yeah, I was like, just freeze it. Like, it worked in two. I'll just freeze the damn
maybe
thing.
This maybe that one can't do that. He's
yeah.
not liquid metal in this one. He's
I guess
like
that's
some
true.
Other kind
some
of
other
a,
nanobites
yeah.
nanobots or something yeah. So yeah, so there's a big explosion, and then all of a sudden here comes a car pulls up and yeah. out walks Sarah Connor, and she immediately goes into Sarah Connor mode.
I got chills when she
yeah.
walked out with that gun. Like, I think the way they handled her being a badass was great, and as soon as she walks out of that car, just I can mm-hmm. feel that, you know, like
she's very much the progression of Sarah Connor.
Yeah. It reminded me of like T2 and how awesome she was and how much I enjoyed that, her coming back, you know, because sometimes you get the stunt casting and the cameos and you're like, oh, that's cute what they tried to do. But to her credit, like Linda Hamilton worked her ass off to get in shape. She did a ton of, you know, she lost weight. She put on a ton of muscle. I mean, for her age, she
I remember in T2, man, she was she was ripped.
She looked awesome in T2. Yeah. But I mean, think about how this is 30 years.
Yeah, it was
27 years or whatever. You know,
or 91.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, you know, 28 years later, and the shape that she got in. I mean, she looks awesome in this movie.
So she goes to town. Like she does not waste a second. No. She knocks the.
She's shooting this thing, throwing a grenade.
Right. Yeah. The I'll be back line was a little meh.
Yeah. I wish they only did it once. Like, I didn't need two, you know?
Yeah.
I wish they only did one I'll be back.
I like variation. The other one better.
Yes. They, I could have not used.
You mean the I won't be back?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially because he undersold it.
Well, he wouldn't know it.
Right.
He wouldn't know the line.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
But as an actor, he underdelivered.
Hers was too cute.
So I guess the T2 or the T800 and T2 wouldn't know the line either.
Yeah, not from the bad ones. Yeah. All that. Yeah.
You got squished. So Danny and Grace take off. And this is where there's something going on with Grace where she's not okay. Like her body is kind of rejecting the augmentations that are in her system. So she has to have a certain amount of drugs.
Well, she has, so she's this augmented, she's like half, maybe more than half machine. She's so augmented that it requires a lot of energy.
Right.
And so to get all that energy, her metabolism.
Yeah, she still has an organic metabolism, a human metabolism.
So when she puts out all that energy, it drains her. So she has to have all these drugs to kind of kickstart her system. And she overheats like a machine would.
Right.
So she needs water, and they're driving, don't have any water. And so she basically just starts to overheat.
Yeah.
And pass out.
Well, it's kind of similar to Wally West when they rebooted Flash a million years ago. Like he had to eat so much food to offset his caloric intake.
There's a great scene where he's got like a tray of like 50 Big Belly burgers.
Yeah.
After he had just run, and his buddy's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I got up, man. I just ran my ass off. Like I got to eat, and I'm gonna go race Superman. Are you kidding me? Like I got to carb up."
They do a good job in the Flash TV show of addressing that.
They do.
To where Barry's always talking about how much he has to eat to be able to
keep going.
Yeah, it's cool that they actually address that, because those are things like we're back in the Golden Age. They're not in the Silver Age. Well, they're not addressing things necessarily. But I like now that people are questioning things, and it's cool that they're like, "Yeah, you've got to eat to keep up that." Where does that? It's energy. You're getting that energy.
Yeah, you're running 5,000 miles an hour. So, so they get to like
the pharmacy,
and this is where there's a not really a funny scene, but like Grace is collapsing, and Danny kind of has to step up and take charge and get her the medicine she needs. They get her. I'm not gonna say doped up, but they get her the medicine. They give her a shot of the medicine, and they get her. All of a sudden, they walk outside, and there's
no. They don't give her anything. Linda Hamilton gives it to her at the hotel.
Okay,
because she says, "How'd you know how much to give her?"
Right,
she says,
I didn't.
But Linda Hamilton shows up.
Right, she's like, "Man, I saved your life, and you steal my car." Yeah. So they're doing their thing, and they get back to this hotel, and this is where Sarah kind of breaks down who she is. I do like the cell phone and the.
That's funny.
Potato chip bag, and she was like, "I
wish I could eat potato chips like that." And be
well, if all you're doing is eating potato chips and drinking booze, like that's your source of you know.
But she's a lot more ripped than someone.
She is. That's true.
Eats potato chips and drinks booze. Right.
And so you know, Grace kind of wake. We get to see where Grace wakes up, and Linda Hamilton has a gun to her head, and she was like, "Start talking." And of course, and I like that Grace is not giving her any information.
Yeah.
She will not tell her who she is, where she's from.
And she also kicks into action. I mean, again, Grace is on a mission. And
right.
So once she wakes up and she's got her meds now, you know, Linda Hamilton, as badass as she is, she can't compete with an augmented human.
Right.
So Grace takes the gun and puts her against a wall and just,
and then
where's Danny?
They let Danny in, and she was like, "You locked me out of the room." And so there's a,
sometimes mommy and daddy have
to
talk.
Oh my God. That was a great line.
Funny.
I liked that line.
I laughed throughout this movie. I know that there were some didn't work. I mean, you know, sometimes not all the jokes hit, but for the most part,
it's like Deadpool.
Exactly. But me in the theater, for the most part, I mean, it was a funny movie. Like throughout the movie, people were laughing.
It had good comedic moments.
Especially when we get to Carl, MVP.
Yeah.
Carl's drapes. Oh my God.
All right. Sarah kind of gives them her backstory as to who she was and who John was. Mm-hmm. And Grace doesn't really let on as to who Danny is. Mm. She was like, I was sent here to protect her. That's it. Yeah. That's my only job.
She presumes Sarah Connors, she says, I used to be her. You know, right. When they ask, why do you want to help us? I was her. And it sucks.
Right.
And
well,
so,
I think you see her as an adult in the flash forwards.
You see the captain, but you never see that it's her.
I could have swore you saw.
You do see her, but she must be real made up and aged because
she's got like a big mask on. She's got her hair covered.
I could have swore I just remember seeing a lady thinking like, is that supposed to be her?
It's supposed to be Danny?
Danny in the future.
I was thinking about it the whole time, but when you see her again, I mean, this is set in the far in the future, so like I saw like an older woman with gray hair, and again there's the breathing mask and stuff, so I couldn't tell that. I mean, you definitely could have spotted it probably was her, but I think they aged her up enough to keep you guessing.
Yeah,
but I still could see where this movie was going, and I clearly was like,
well, yeah. I mean obviously I thought
when
that...
they said that, oh, she's gonna have the son that saves the world, I'm like, bulls.
Right.
No, they're not. This movie that has basically all female leads and female empowerment, which isn't a bad thing, but I'm saying they're not setting her
that's
up
not
to
work.
They're not going to do the mother Mary isn't going to be this trope. No. So this is where we get a little backstory on Grace, is that she was, you know, she's having a nightmare, and we flash back to the war, and she's they're trying to get to this base, but the drones basically from Legion are attacking. And her main goal is to get the commander into the base. Mm. And there's a
these things are
killing everything. Yeah.
These bombs are blowing everybody up, and she ends up getting damaged
pretty bad.
And we see her, I think maybe even a later flashback, she wakes up because she tells him before she goes under, she's like, I want to volunteer for the augmentation.
Right. Is the commander okay? She's fine. Let's get you squared away. Grace asks Sarah, how did you know I was going to be there, or what, you know, and she kind of says, she's like, I get texts, and it's, and this is where we get the explanation that Skynet sent back more than just the one. So she is basically just,
I think we get that way back in the beginning when that Terminator shows up, she says,
yeah,
that's how we know why that T-800 came and killed John. She
I thought it was when she's explaining what happened.
No, she just says, I get texts, and it's just a mystery. Now,
she becomes a Terminator hunter is basically what she is.
But we know we haven't seen Arnold Schwarzenegger for an hour, so we're like, clearly he's the one sending the text.
Right.
What else is he going to do in this movie?
Well, so. I didn't know. So I honestly thought it was going to be Danny the kid Danny from Terminator 2.
The kid Danny from
Terminator 2. The dad who is like the guy who dies at the end, who blows up Skynet. Remember, he had a son.
Oh, Dyson. Miles Dyson's son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we get to see her...
When the guy brings them the weapon, I was like, please make that Dyson's son.
It needs to be Danny.
To tie it in.
The only reason I remember is because like Edward Furlong was like, he's about to cut his arm off. Yeah. We got to get you out of this room.
When you said Danny, because I'm like, that's her name, so I was confused.
Oh, no.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking just like how bad movie example, but like Independence Day 2, how that's the... Son. Isn't that Will Smith's son? Yeah. Does whatever. Yeah. I'm thinking this movie, if they want to tie him together... Give Dyson's son, who Dyson obviously dies doing the right thing in that movie, give his son something to do, and that's obviously him and Sarah Connor had this connection. Like, she got his dad killed, so she took care of the family.
That's why she's pissed. Well, that's why he's pissed at her. Yeah. And like, you know,
it'd be interesting.
He does say, I don't commit. I think there's a script. There's a scene where we find out that is him.
Yeah,
because she says, I wouldn't commit treason for anybody.
Why that was my take too.
Why would else would a military guy be bringing Sarah Connor?
And how else would she know one?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So that was my idea, and I don't know why, and maybe it just didn't play
make it in
because of time or whatever. But
so yeah, so they
basically say we got to get to
where those texts are coming from. So I do like that. Grace is like, do you still have your phone? And she was like, yeah. He's like, cool, give it to me. And got it. And she hacks the phone, and we figure out the coordinates.
What are you doing? Future.
good line.
That's a good line. There's a lot of,
So they get the longitude, latitude coordinates, and she was just like.
Well, and Grace has those tattooed her stomach.
She looks at it, and she's kind of in shock, and she's like, this was tattooed on me for I don't know why, but it's the same stuff.
So clearly they got to go there.
So they go, and it's Oh, I guess there's another fight because they have to take a helicopter. They chop her in. Get to the chopper. They chop her in to, like, remember they're flying the chopper, and she kind of says, land one click out so they can walk up. But there's another fight with the Rev 9 in this world.
Okay.
So, but I mean, like, you don't really need to explain the fights. Like, it's just
right,
massive.
They fight.
They fight. Yeah. They get away barely. He tracks them.
So that basically they infer that this Rev 9 is able to hack into any security system.
Right.
Cell phones, internet, database. So
oh,
like,
that's what it is. They sneak across the border. They sneak across the border. They go to her uncle. They sneak across the border, and the Rev 9 hacks like Border Patrol.
Yeah,
and they get arrested.
And then he infiltrates. He kills the Border Patrol people, and then they're captured, and he ends up going into the holding facility.
I was like, this is poignant. This is like when we are actually going into a detention facility.
Yeah, this movie does not hide the line
when Grace breaks free. And she goes, where do you hold the prisoners? And she goes, they're detainees. And I was like, well, that was on the nose.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And she was like, whatever. And just like slams her head.
To me, they got across what they were trying to say. And it was very clear. But to me, it didn't come off as preachy.
No, I don't think so.
I think that they handled it well. It's poignant, like you said. But it wasn't like, oh, my God, they're beating you over the head. Like, it's a plot point that they made very clear. But I don't know. It was well handled.
No, I don't think I didn't see a problem with that at all.
Yeah.
You know, because it's what would have happened.
Yeah,
and if you're from the future and you don't know the politics of the situation, and you look at one, you're not going to go.
Do you think that she doesn't know though?
I mean, she probably doesn't really have time to learn about the history.
There's no,
that came before
like,
it.
I guess that's
Legion's
true.
The technology, but they don't have technology. I don't think. I mean, I always think of the rebels. Like,
yeah,
just
I guess
kinda,
that's true. They're just kind of piecing stuff together.
They're like homeless. They're very low tech, just trying to find weapons, and they don't have a lot of time to read up on.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So then this is where they get the chopper. They get out of there. They go see, they cut into the woods. They, walk up to this cabin and it says Carl, you know, there's a van that says Carl's Drapes. And I was like, ugh,
MVP.
All right. And then, so
why
they knock,
is that bad?
I don't know. There was
I don't understand.
So here's the, like, so I just watched 3 as well.
Well,
like,
that's not our fault.
No, I know. But I mean, like what they do with him in 3 is like as badass as he is. In 1 and 2, in 3, it's almost a parody of the entire thing.
Okay,
like the scene in 3 when he like one.
I saw it once in theaters.
No,
I do
okay.
Not remember
in 2, in 2, when he goes into the bar,
yeah,
and it's that badass scene where he give me I need your boots, your clothes, your motorcycle, and then they do
Arnold.
Then, John, thank you. Then they get George Thorogood as he's walking out. Like Jesus Christ, like that's badass. In 3, he gets
it's you get in this one too.
You get George Thorogood in this?
Same song plays when he lands in that shack with the hillbillies barbecuing.
Oh, does
they
it really?
Put it in there
that's
again.
Funny. Yeah. I didn't even notice that. Mm-hmm. Okay. In 3, it's almost a parody where, like, you know, when he walks up and he takes the guy's sunglasses and just kind of walks away. Well, he does the same thing, but it's like sunflower sunglasses. Like, it's very tongue in cheek.
Okay.
And I feel like I miss that. And we get that Terminator in this eventually. But I do kind of miss that emotionless Arnold, if that makes sense. Like that version of the T-800 has not been around in a long time.
Right. But it's been 22 years. Like I think it's way more interesting than just having a killer T-800 go around and as badass as it is. But you know, you could watch T2 and he's plenty badass in that. Here's a killing machine that was sent for a mission, murdered your main character, and then in 22 years has found another purpose, a family, learned about human emotion, and learned on his own to help others and become a good person. Like, I think that's a far more interesting development than him just being like, come with me if you want to live after 22 years. Like, you know, he's learned, like, this is cool that they took the worst of the worst killer that kills your main
character.
He's
a monster. He's a monster.
And you turned him into a good guy, yeah. And a likable and a funny guy. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
It just there was when we finally get to like the Terminator that I want to see, I was like, okay.
Yeah, he's still badass.
Yeah.
He can still do it when there's a reason.
Yeah. Right. That makes sense.
But I love it that when they're like seeing pictures and in your head, you're just like, why does he have a family? This is a Terminator. And you find out he's the one that killed
John.
Well,
yeah. We know immediately that it's the one because he's got the same scar on his face and Sarah reacts to the scar.
Yeah, sure. And then you get that whole thing. Like, how much more interesting is it now that Sarah has to team up with the Terminator that killed her son. It's
very T2-ish, where she has to team up with a Terminator that looks like the Terminator that attacked her.
But
it's the same kind of idea, but this one's taken to the next level.
Yes, exactly.
Where
B1,
killed her son.
What would that do to you? How would you handle it? I mean, she instantly wants to kill him, which is the right reaction. And then she goes off and has that nice moment where, is it Grace or Danny?
I think it was Danny. Yeah.
He goes and talks to her and they have this nice moment together. And it's like, yeah, you would react terribly. You've wanted nothing more than for 22 years to avenge your son. You're killing every Terminator that you can, and now you've got to team up with this guy. Like, it's like,
I wonder if the rating of this movie hurt it, because the only reason it got a rated R to me is the language.
Yeah.
I don't think he's killing a bunch of people and there's blood. Like,
there's not much blood.
It's CG blood. That's very easily taken out.
I watched T2 with Ryan, totally able to watch that. I mean,
there's almost no blood.
It's language. Yeah. It's so silly. Cause like, I watched that and aside from that one gnarly kill, which he thought was cool, but still I'm like, that movie wasn't bad at all. They just dropped the F-bomb all over the place.
A lot of it. Yeah. And this is the same one. Like, there's sometimes like, okay, I have to censor myself on this show because I use that word a lot.
You do?
I do.
Oh, I didn't think.
Okay. Uh-huh. But like, there are times when Sarah uses it where I was like, that's a weird reason.
But you don't
get
many of them. You get like four. And
where they're weird, or four
where they say that, where they drop an F-bomb.
Yeah.
And cuz the first one comes about 30 minutes into the movie, and I was just like, and I honestly didn't know the rating, and I was like, oh, that's
your
one.
Because
so far it feels very PG-13.
Right.
And then you get a couple more, and I was like, oh.
I feel like she says it a lot. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just, I felt like, not in rapid fire.
Right.
But I feel like that was a main part of her.
I didn't really notice anything too gratuitous about this movie. The thing is, if you're going to make an
butts.
R.
But you can get away with a button in PG-13. Yeah.
If you're going to give this movie an R rating, and this is what I say about all of them, it's like, if you're going to do it, then double down on it.
Right.
Otherwise, make it PG-13 and get that box office.
Right.
Why not? That's what you're, it's show
because
business.
They were like, they're going back to an R rating. And I was like, cool, let's do it.
Did they? I mean, I didn't notice anything that was really, there weren't any crazy kills. It wasn't hyper violent. It just.
When that final battle with the other Terminator, like, they do some pretty graphic things to him, but because he's a robot, there's no blood.
Right.
But like, when they're like basically ripping his face in half and stuff, like, it was like,
fair.
They're messing with but again, I think that it probably would have still got a PG-13 because they can go,
he's a robot,
there's no blood. The same way that in the Terminator or the Transformers franchise, they're robots and there's blood everywhere, but it's like hydraulic fluid, so it's green and they don't care, even though they're still supposed to be living beings.
That's why I feel like I've even said this about the original Halloween in 1978, that's a PG movie.
Yeah.
Or I guess it's a PG movie in 2019.
Right.
Compared to back then.
Yeah.
Take the boobs out.
You can, though.
Not in current. If you're saying it's PG now, you can't have boobs now in PG.
Oh, but I mean.
But you can get away with boobs in PG-13.
Yeah,
right?
You can get away with. As long as it's. I think.
I don't know about that. Maybe no nipple, probably, in PG-13.
Yeah. I think you can.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can have nipple.
They're...
Maybe side boob or something, but.
Yeah, maybe. But you could do side boob in that. Just be like, here, move the mask up just a little bit there. Done.
Yeah, right. But that's what I'm saying. That's what makes it, I think, nowadays. But there's hardly anything in there. It's just more the suspense and everything.
Right. So we get Carl, and there, you know,
Carl's great.
He explains
draperies.
He explains that, like, once the mission was completed, he didn't have anything else to do. So he's sort of walking around, and
and then he's like, once I got a family and I learned what it was like to have a child and to lose a child, he understood what he did to her, and he's like, and then I wanted to give you a mission or give you a purpose. Like, I thought it was so well written, and how his character, this cold robot killer, was turned into a family man and gained a heart. Like, I don't know, I think it was really cool that they did that, and they did it well. Like, where you weren't like, I'm not buying it. Like, I think they did it really well, to where you felt for him and you see him with the family saying goodbye, and it's actually touching. And you're like, wow, he just murdered John at the beginning of this movie, right?
So they decide that, like, we will use Danny as bait. And Sarah's just like, I don't care.
You can show boobs in PG-13.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Depending on how they're used.
Yeah. But because, like, the thing that I just Googled it, but the thing that came out was like, oh, yeah. But in Total Recall, the remake,
three boobs.
You get three boobs.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's true.
Maybe because there's three, and that's weird.
But I'm saying is, like, I think it's the way that they are used.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you must can be. See them bouncing
I can't.
Around.
I mean, how many movies off the top of your head can you think of that are PG-13 with boobs?
Just One of the Boys.
What?
That's the first one that comes to my mind. Is there? It's a movie where a gal, I don't remember if she's like trying to weed out like the misogyny, but like she becomes friends with this dude, but she's a girl and she starts to develop feelings for him, and she has to, like, by the end of the movie, she has to explain to him that she is not a boy.
Oh.
And how she explains she's not a boy is she was like, look, and like opens a towel.
Interesting.
And
but do you actually see it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think what it comes down to is most movies with boobs are not trying to skirt the PG-13 line. Like,
totally,
if you have boobs in your movie, you've got a lot of nudity and a lot of cursing. Like, it's not like...
No,
well,
totally.
According to this article, Kevin, I'm a little disappointed in you. There, you see nudity in Hackers.
Oh, Kevin. Dropping what? The ball.
Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
But it must be like silhouettes. It's like in a dark room when there's no
Angelina
lights on.
As Jolie's character hooks up with her cohort... Zero cool. Mm-hmm. She briskly walks across the room as her breasts peek through an unzipped jacket.
Wow. It's light, though. But yeah.
Still counts. So they basically said, we're going to set up a kill box.
Which is like, I've never heard of this, and then I feel like in three movies this year, they set up a kill box. It's the same thing they did in Hobbs and Shaw at the end. They set up a kill box. Like, this word, I've never heard of kill boxes, and now it's like,
they all heard it once, they're like, no, it works, I like it.
I heard over at Universal, they're doing a movie with a kill box.
Let's you and I do it. So this is where Grace is like, nope, absolutely not. I will throw her to the bottom of a mineshaft if it means I have to protect
her. I think they do a really good job with Dani and her character and that strong female lead. And she's just like, I don't want to go live at the bottom of a mineshaft.
Right.
And she's like, I am not going to hide. I'm going to confront this now. And
we're
going to
do it now.
Wow.
And then they're trying to get her to shoot and she can't shoot for
God.
And then all of a sudden, Linda Hamilton kind of leans into her ear and says, a Terminator just killed your entire family and it's coming after you. What are you going to do? And they give her like this massive shotgun.
Dumb. And they also give her a huge shotgun as opposed to a pistol.
Right.
Or a rifle or whatever.
It was a shotgun. Like, it was
so you can, your aim is better because you have motivation.
No, your aim is better because you have
a
massive
huge shotgun.
Yeah.
That could hit anything. Like,
if you can't hit that watermelon with that kind of weapon,
you need to go to the mine shaft.
Yeah, go to the mine shaft. It's in everybody's best interest.
I mean, she gave her motivation, but also they gave her a gigantic, I mean, that thing just spreads out. Like, you aim it anywhere near the watermelon.
Yeah, you're gonna get it.
I like the point it proved, though, where they're like, they don't have time for this crap. They're trying to train her with weapons and, you know, and be steady, and you're anticipating the recoil and whatever, and she's like, give her this big A gun. And make her
that
mad.
Was always one of the problems I had with Genesis,
yeah,
which I think we did on this show. We
probably
had to have given,
I think so.
Can't
that's the most recent one,
years
right
ago.
Yeah, that was the one with
we did.
Daenerys Targaryen.
We did.
And
Daenerys, I like that.
What's her name?
Daenerys.
What's her real name?
Oh, Emilia Clarke.
There we go. Thank you. Where she like...
Emilia Clarke.
Yeah. I did see a preview for her like little romantic comedy for Christmas time. That looks adorable.
Last Christmas? Next Christmas? Something?
With the Asian guy and
Henry Golding.
Thing.
Yeah. The guy from Crazy Rich Asians. Yeah.
Henry Golding.
Yeah.
And he's clearly an angel.
Something.
I think.
Definitely something.
Didn't talk to anybody but her.
That's right.
That's,
I think he's something.
I don't know that, but just based on the trailer, I don't feel like I'm spoiling it because it's conjecture and my theory, but that's my prediction.
I think you
and
aren't wrong.
Porn parody is called Touched by an Angel.
Yeah.
It works both ways. So that was like when she pulls up and saves Kyle Reese in that movie. And
don't remember.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's not good. Like, it's basically what happened is like, they tried to reboot the whole thing.
I really like how they recreated the exact scenes from.
Oh no, that was fun.
I thought that it was. I thought it was fun. I thought they looked just like it. They did a great job. So I really enjoyed that part. But
overall,
I don't remember
garbage
it,
movie.
Yeah.
She's
something
basic,
about
she's
time
basic,
travel or something. They're going through portals.
She's basically
something.
Sarah Connor from T2 and Terminator 1.
Yeah,
like that's kind of what they did. So they
their plan is the kill box. They're going to go to.
They're going
to. Where are they going?
Like some power plant.
Yeah,
I don't know. The melting plant from Terminator 2.
Yeah,
that's kind
pretty
of
much.
We're
yeah,
doing.
Like it's
it's the exact same plot.
Yeah.
So they get there, and there's a...
They need an EMP. That's what it is. So then they get a military friend to give them a military EMP.
Not the son from Terminator 2.
Yeah, apparently. And the Rev-9 tracks them and ends up chasing them down. He shoots the military guy, so that way they get a military escort, because he's like, I need you to... We're coming to the base.
These are private contractors. Get them out of here.
Yeah, so they end up going onto the airfield. They fly a plane.
Oh, you're right. You're
and then he gets a jet and tracks them down.
Which I thought was kind of...
It's a big, cool action scene.
He's flying the refueling plane.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, it's a little early for refuel, and he kills both escorts, and then he's going after them, and then they're like, we got to get out of here.
I thought this is a good scene where they're like trying to get the Humvee out of the car.
The action scenes, I was thoroughly entertained by all these. Mm-hmm. Tim Miller knows how to do action.
So they land at like a dam. That's where they are.
Boob in PG-13 movies.
Yeah.
Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. I think...
Really?
You know,
It's good.
I've never seen Titanic.
It's good.
It's a good
movie.
You
should see it.
Okay.
You should. It holds up. I watched it about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Totally holds up. And it's a four quadrant hit for a reason.
Okay.
And like has your wife watched it? Has she seen it?
She's a 36 year old.
Pretend like you're being a sensitive guy and watch Titanic with her. Because yeah, it's got all the romance and the costumes and historical drama. But like once that boat starts to sink, it's just a kick-ass action movie, but it's got all this other stuff that goes on too.
Sure.
But like watching, it's a good movie.
All I know is Rose is selfish. That's all I've,
well,
that's
yes.
all I've been told.
You know, the only reason they got away with that frontal, like, you know, boobs out, not just for a second, but like, it's because it was an artsy, really good movie.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It would have been R in a second if it were just some action schlock, but they're like, oh, this is...
Well, and it's early end, it's a 3-hour movie. By the time they got to the end, they probably forgot they had seen boobs.
That's true. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, I completely forgot.
Yeah.
So they crash in this dam, and this is where the big fight happens. And finally, they realize they've lost...
See, if it was a PG-13, they would have had to crash in a darn...
God damn it. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The big fight is going on, and they've lost the EMP, and they're just trying to survive at this point. And finally, Grace...
Carl gives them a 12% chance without the EMP to live.
Yeah, and
they're
like,
just like, we got to run away. And I think Danny's like, no, we're gonna do it. We're going to take that 12% chance.
We're
going to
run with it.
Yeah.
So finally, Grace is damaged, hurt real bad. And basically, she says, our only option is this thing in my chest. Like, this thing in my chest.
Oh, we have another EMP.
Yeah, it's in my chest. And it's
power source.
Power source.
It's actually, like, in her abdomen or something.
Oh, I thought, okay.
Mm-mm, it's low down by her.
Oh, I guess that's true. Like, she does kind of... Danny
it's not Iron Man's arc reactor.
Yeah, right.
She's an Optimus Prime.
Optimus
opens
Prime.
His chest
yeah.
up and... You got
gives
the
her the, gives her the spark.
The all spark.
Danny... They realize that this is our only option. And Grace is... hurt bad. They've pushed in a cool scene where they push the Rev-9 like into one of the generators where his like face is getting bounced off the thing. Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool. We get a good look at the T-800 where Arnold's kind of losing limbs left and right. He's got the, you know, half of his face is
well,
gone.
Back at the dam, they the Rev-9, the endoskeleton part, actually crashed with him off the plane and went underwater, and they had a pretty cool underwater fight.
They did,
and that thing tears his arm off, so he's missing an arm. He ends up climbing out of there with one arm,
right.
And so he's beaten up pretty bad at this point when they get to the plant.
So Grace is terminally injured, and they kind of say that, like, you have to, like, she's talking to Danny, she's like, you have got to get this thing out of me. Yeah. It's the only option.
And you've
got to
survive. And at this point, I think around here is where we get that flashback. Because at this point, we already know who she is, because we saw a flashback of Grace as a little girl, and she's trying to, you know, survive. And these other scavengers come, and they're like,
they're going
to kill her for her food.
Right.
And then we see, and then the next flashback is like, Danny is the one that actually saves her.
Right.
And so she's like, you saved me, now let me save you.
Right. So they pull the arc reactor out of...
You've got the touch!
out of Grace, and they end up... She ends up getting it, like...
She's now Danimus Prime.
Yeah, she ends... A good fight between Danny and the Rev-9, where they fight him off, and then Arnold...
Oh, yeah, at this point, once... He spit him through the super spinny
he's messed
thing.
Up.
That I mean, it's on its last limb, like it's melting.
Right.
The Rev-9 endoskeleton.
But it still holds on for a long time.
It does. A little too long.
Like, yeah, like I was like, I think they're making this thing too tough.
Yeah.
Because it's like, so okay, the solution is simple. Just send back two of them.
Right.
What are the chances of them beating it again?
Yeah, right. That's why I was saying at the end I have questions, because it really, if with any of the Terminator movies, you can be like, can Skynet send 20 of these things?
Right.
So can you send them when they're a baby, not when they're seven? I mean, you know, I mean, you can start saying, like, what's with their plans here?
Right. So, so she ends up fighting him off.
But I will say also real quick, the really cool thing about that Rev 9, which we touched on, is the fact that it's, like, outer part can leave, and then they can both team up. So, like, you've got the endoskeleton, and then the one that looks like what the guy looks like in the previews.
The T-1000.
And you get some really cool team-ups with the way that it will leave, and it can, like, manipulate around objects. Like, it's stabbed in the shoulder, and you can manipulate out of it. And there's just some really cool things that this Terminator
The fact that it can split apart and then kind of work as a tag team is just kind of, I think, comes out of the idea that whenever there's an advancement in technology, it's used for porn.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
It never fails. Right.
Yeah. VR, we got you covered.
But this time there's one for the ladies.
That's right.
And some of the men.
And whoever else would like to.
Yes, and all points in between.
That's right.
Sorry.
So that Danny jabs the EMP into the guy's face, and she can't...
The T-800, Carl is knocked out, and Grace is like,
screaming,
get up, you know, and wake up. He's very damaged at this point, but he ends up grabbing the Rev 9,
and smashes into it.
Takes him into the bottom of the reactor.
I thought for a second we were getting the thumbs up again.
I know.
I was like, oh, God, please don't do it.
I was like,
best directorial choice Tim Miller made was
not doing the
resist the urge for the thumbs up.
Not doing the Van Helsing thumbs up.
Yeah. Is it the EMP he gets in the face? I thought it was her power supply.
Which was like an EMP.
Oh, that's also one.
Yeah. And then that's kind of how we lose both Carl and the Rev 9.
My biggest problem, if I were going to actually yell at the screen, I'm like, we know how this works. Get that damn chip out of the T-800's head. You can't leave that chip.
Here's the problem. Grace is still there. Her entire body.
Well, she has augments, but she is not an AI.
It doesn't matter. That's step one.
Well, okay. Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, the AI is the problem for creating Skynet, not augments. Like, they're gonna be like, oh, robot arms. But, dude, the whole point of those first two movies is get that damn chip.
Well, here you go. Here's part two. Skynet's back.
Right, because now they found the chip from the T-800. So it's like, I was so mad that they didn't, like, I know they look fried and Arnold's dead at the bottom or what looks like a T-800 skeleton, but I'm like, get that chip out of his head. Go down there. I wish they addressed that. But.
So, yeah, so the movie kind of wraps up. Danny. Road trip. Yeah, well, here's the cool part that I liked is she's driving the same Jeep. She's driving the Jeep from the first one.
She's a bad, like, that picture that John has when she's...
Yeah, she's driving the Jeep. Not the same Jeep, but she's driving a very similar looking Jeep when they drive away.
Throws Danny the keys. Very cool. But and I like that she's like, I'm not going to let Grace die again, because at this point, since Grace hasn't sent her back, you know, I mean, this is all in the past where Grace is a young child.
Looks at Grace and
she's like, I'm not going to let them kill her again. And Sarah Connor says, this time you got to be ready. And so I like the idea where they can take it into a lot of different directions. Like, are they going to stop Legion from being created? Like, I mean, if they were to, which doesn't look like they will, but if they ever were to spin it off, there's a lot of directions they could go. And I like the fact that, like, the future isn't written yet. You still have Grace there. She's not augmented yet. They can stop that whole reality.
Maybe.
How are they going to address that?
So, yeah, it's, I thought this was, what was the, there was one theory that I really,
they're
backwards, right? So in Terminator, that Skynet was constantly trying to different avenues to stop John, right? So obviously in 2, they sent something back to kill him in 3, they sent one back to kill him as an adult, and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. So then in 2, they sent one back to kill him as a teenager, and that didn't work. So then in 1, they were just like,
right,
to hell with it, kill the mom.
Well, like
we can't.
This is my theory that these movies are
actually in reverse.
But this is my problem. If Skynet's so smart and can track these things down, why do you not go to a certain point in time where you can take them out way earlier and not have to mess with any of these people?
Maybe they can only go back so far.
Maybe, and I get that, and it's a time travel movie, it's sci-fi, I'm not saying it ruins the whole thing, but it does get me to thinking, like, why is Skynet choosing to go to a point where Sarah Connor's alive and where, you know, just, like, kill...
And this is something you see in time travel movies a lot, though, to where it's like, why didn't they you know, they go back and they don't give themselves
just enough time. Yes.
Right. I mean, Back to the Future does
it. Sure, sure.
You know. Sometimes they even parody in movies where they're like, give me an extra hour or something. Like, yeah. Why are you only giving so little time? Like, give a few days to try to figure this thing out.
But yeah, I thought it's a shame that it didn't do well. I thought it was well done. I thought it was fun. I thought it's the best one they've done
since two.
I mean, the bar is set about as low as you can. The bar is on the ground.
I enjoyed the movie, but I also don't feel like they turned in this amazing piece of
agree.
Work.
They did not.
That should have done better. I'm like, I think people are just kind of tired of it.
Yeah.
But I do, like, I think the box office is bad because people feel burnt. But people that love T2, I feel like this is exactly what you'd expect. Like, if fans go into this expecting that kind of action and Terminator type stuff and time travel, whatever, like, this movie checks all the boxes.
It does.
So
I just think it feels a little formulaic at times. Yeah. And
I don't disagree.
It's a really well done formula.
Uh-huh.
But it does feel a little formulaic. I thought we were supposed to be getting a new Guns N' Roses song in this movie.
Are you serious?
I thought I had read an article saying that they thought that there was a rumor Guns N' Roses was working on a new song for
maybe,
this movie.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe they didn't do it.
Well, clearly.
I really like that song they do from the trailer, and I don't think it made it into the movie, but that, I can't even, that's something human or whatever. The one that's in all the trailers.
Oh, sure.
I really like that. It kind of sounds like a sleepy cover, but I don't think it's a cover, but it has that like slow, ominous, creepy kind of vibe to it, and I'm like, that's a really great trailer song, but I don't think I ever heard it at any time in the movie.
No. Yeah. But yeah, I think, I mean, if you got nothing else going on and you love the Terminator.
If you like T2, I really think you're going to like this movie.
If you like the first two Terminator movies, I think you will be reasonably entertained by this.
Yeah, I would agree.
But if you never saw it, I also don't feel like you're missing out on much.
No.
Yeah.
No, I would agree with that as well. There you go.
So, cool. Well, I guess
Terminator 17.
Yes. I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, you can do so at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Or while you're there, you can like the page, join the League of Show Sharers. And of course, don't forget our Patreon account, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month, all sorts of bonus content, and you get to help us out a little bit. So that's it for this one. Coming up next week, we will tackle Dr. Sleep. Really?
Oh, for real.
Really? And
fool me once.
And finally.
Fool me 10 times.
Shame on
someone.
Me.
I don't know where it is at this point.
So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Dr. Lazarus deletes the fourth directive.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.